through the Alaska Airlines studios.
This is Tom, Jake, and Stacy on 710 ESPN Seattle. Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Tom Wassel, Jake Heaps, and Stacy Ross.
Good Friday to everybody. Once again, it's just Tom and Stacy. Jake is down in Orlando. He's going to be with Russell Wilson, and at 1 o'clock today, we're going to hear an interview with that Russell Wilson. Yeah, so that should be pretty fun. Jake seems to have his ear, and he's dominated the skills competition down there, so we're all very proud of him. You watch any of that, by the way?
I did. I watched a little bit of it this morning. And it's that feeling of it takes you a minute to realize how hard all of that is. You think, like, I could throw that ball.
And then I imagine myself. Target.
Yeah. And then I imagine myself trying to throw the ball when we're in the control room and how angry Jake gets. Do you guys remember when we were throwing the ball around with Brock and Salk?
Yes.
Like back I remember there? Many times and we were throwing the ball around. Stacy made everyone very nervous.
They left. And then the minute they shut the door, Jake, who's normally very nice, is like, you completely embarrassed us.
Stacy! You embarrassed me
back there.
It's humiliating.
He was that upset over that?
No.
Well, he
not
waited
really.
Until the door shut. Yeah, and it was like the parent leaving for like your friend who was over playing. Like once the second the door shut, you'll never do that again.
That was always so terrifying. Oh my God. Man. Well, anyway, Jake's down there with Russell again. We'll hear from both of them at 1 o'clock. Yesterday, Stace, we were at... By the way, can I call you Stace? Is that all right?
You sure can. Everyone calls me Stace.
Okay, I didn't know if it was too informal for a program like this. We were down at T-Mobile Park. We talked to Jerry DePoto, a couple of players, Justin Dunn and Tom Murphy. We got mostly good reaction. Mostly good reaction.
From listeners?
About yeah.
That. Yeah.
And we're going to address a group of Mariner fans that maybe we don't address enough.
Fair.
I think maybe we tend to just gloss over them, maybe ignore them at times. But for anybody who has abandoned the Mariners or think that anything that comes out of Jerry DePoto and Scott Service's mouth is nonsense or a lie even, this segment is for you because I don't understand you. Here's my biggest question. If you're going to complain about every single thing that Jerry DePoto says, and I'll give you a quick clip from yesterday's show here.
We don't think that we're likely to threaten for a playoff position this year. Our season, we will measure our season based on the development of our young players.
Okay, so they're not going to threaten for a playoff spot. He says it plain and simple.
Yeah.
Said the same thing last year, and it was obvious last year.
Yeah.
This year, I mean... It's still pretty obvious that they're not going to contend.
It was still part of that original, because when he was talking about it, he was like, yeah, the goal is like a 2021.
Right, exactly, because you can't turn a baseball team around with a couple of trades the same way you can in the NBA. I know this team hasn't made the playoffs since 2001, and we've had different general managers try this same thing, and it hasn't worked for one reason or another. But if you're going to remain a Mariner fan, if you call yourself a Mariner fan, what is it that you want him to say? What is it that you want Jerry DePoto to tell you in 2020 that would be satisfactory? I got a lot of people on Twitter hitting me up yesterday saying, well, I'm boycotting the Mariners.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, what exactly do you think of your fan boycott of the Mariners is going to accomplish?
Right.
Like, you're not going to watch the games. And then what, you will when they contend again? I mean, you have that right. That's fine. But are you going to, if they contend again in 2020, if you're boycotting them now, are you going to turn around and give Jerry DePoto some credit? Or are you just going to go ahead with it like nothing happened?
The 206 says, I'm reading it because it's similar to some sentiment I got yesterday. What's obviously obvious, as plain as day, is Service and DePoto are just buying time.
Until what?
Well, I don't know. Well, one response we got yesterday when we tweeted out that we were talking to Jerry DePoto, and then we sent out some quotes from DePoto. We had an article on 710sports.com where you can listen to that interview. One response that I saw was this is year 19 of a rebuild. How is it supposed to be any different than the ones before it? And what I would disagree with is it's not year 19 of a rebuild. It's year two, at least from my point of view.
It's not. You know what? You can be as frustrated as you want over 19 years of not making the playoffs.
I get
it. But what you can't do is blame Jerry DePoto and Scott Servais for what went on in 2004, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11,
well,
12, 13,
and you're
14.
You're not alone.
You can't.
You're not alone in like the in your anger and your frustration. Like, I grew up here. I have an uncle, my Uncle Jim, who was a die-hard Mariners fan. Watch every single Mariners game every single year. And he died a couple years ago. He'll never see this team make it. R.I.P. Uncle Jim. He'll never see them make it to a World Series if they make it. And this man watched every game, every inning of every game. And he's not alone there, right? There are other people who they do that, family members do that, and they feel like long-suffering fans. And that's sad. It's sad when I think about that. But the point is, I look at this regime and I think that someone like my uncle or fans that have seen different iterations of this team, they've never reached success, but they've taken different approaches to try to do that. I think he'd be okay with this approach.
We don't think that we're likely to threaten for a playoff position this year. Our season, we will measure our season based on the development of our young players.
I'm okay with that.
Yeah, I mean, here, if we had a GM here for the last 19 years who was never held accountable for failure, that would be one thing. Then you could go down there, you could pick at the building, you could have a flyover, you could do whatever you want, you could incinerate all your Ichiro jersey, whatever you want to do. But if this doesn't work, if Scott Servais and Jerry DePoto do a bad job and none of these players turn out, guess what, folks? They're going to be held accountable just like everybody else. So it's not like the organization is trying to, you know, pull the wool over your eyes.
It's not Bill Bavese or Jack Cerenzik still right. sitting here going, oh, year 10 of the rebuild.
Exactly.
Like, they were held accountable.
You can't pit those previous years on these two, on DePoto and Servais.
No, that's what, I mean, if you want to look at it that way, I can't stop you. I'm trying to help you, I guess.
Well, I don't know what you're thinking. I don't know why you thought that they would go from being kind of perpetually middle of the road to contending with what? Like, what did they get that would make you think that they would be a World Series contender this year? Tell me that. If you're mad that DePoto didn't say they would want to contend, who do they have that makes you think they would do that?
Yeah, they have a bunch of young players and Kyle Seager and Tom Murphy and D. Gordon, who probably won't be here much longer.
They're going to be one of the younger teams. Jerry DePoto said the youngest team in the AL.
I guess I'll go back to the question I just asked a second ago, though. For the doubters, and you have a right to doubt, believe me.
Yeah.
All of this stuff, look, for all the prospects we talk about, Justin Dunn, Justice Sheffield, Evan White, Kelnick, and Rodriguez, they're younger. Not all of these guys are going to work out. I would bet most of my money, which I don't have much, but I would bet it that not all these guys are going to work out for one reason or another. But some of them might. And when the time comes to spend money, they've said that they're going to spend money and they're going to build around what they do have. Are you going to give credit to DePoto if it does work? Or are you just going to sit there and keep on complaining?
I think that I think what's hard for fans, if I'm kind of taking that approach, is that if I'm a fan and I'm hearing DePoto say we're not going to contend, I'm thinking, then why am I watching? What am I doing? Like, what am I looking for then? And I think that you have to challenge. This is what I'm doing. Just mm-hmm. You're not alone here. I'm challenging myself to watch this season in a different way that I would normally watch a baseball season. And it feels not as fun because you're not watching them dominate. But what you're going to see is you're going to see someone's very first home run. You're going to see someone's their MLB debut. You're going to see, Rick Riz the other day. I don't know if we have that audio of him talking about Griffey. He was talking to us about something new he learned this offseason. And he said, you know, I remembered going out to see Ken Griffey Jr., in spring training when he was obviously not with the Mariners yet.
Yep.
And I saw him, what did he say? He like hit a double or
yeah,
something like that.
Yeah, he laced a double.
Yeah. And he thought to himself, this guy is something special. I just saw something. I don't know what it is, but there's something different. You don't normally get to have that feeling as a fan, because ideally when guys finally get up here, the team has a pretty good idea of what they're going to be. You don't normally get that feeling of, I'm just watching young guys and I'm seeing, like, the way a scout would see or someone behind the scenes would see a moment when you realize someone's that guy.
Sometimes you don't recognize that moment.
Right.
Because you don't know what's going to happen later with that player.
And it feels not as, it doesn't feel as exciting because you're not seeing someone in the middle of a great career, but you could see the beginning of some great careers. I think that's pretty cool.
From the 360, I put the onus on the owners. The Mariners are the only team that has not been to the World Series. I quit them 3 years ago. Well, guess what? The ownership fired the last regime. They fired Jack Cerenzik. They fired Lloyd McClendon. They fired Eric Wedge. They're trying to win. And by the way, the ownership essentially is new.
Yes, the ownership turned over as well.
Yeah, so you have new ownership. I mean, and by the way, I don't believe for a second that you quit them 3 years ago.
Wish I could quit you.
Yeah, I mean, are you?
You can't quit
you quit them 3 years
don't
ago,
lie.
Yet you're listening to this conversation. Give me a break. Three questions. Let's go.
It's time for three questions.
Can't wait for it.
Every day at 12 after 12, Tom Wassel's burning questions for Jake Heaps and Stacey Rost.
Enough with the we got to protect the kids nonsense.
Stacey, Thomas.
What? Yes.
Should Washington basketball and Mike Hopkins be looking at system players that they can develop for multiple years as opposed to these top-level one-and-done type guys?
I thought that's what they were going to do. Excuse me, Stacey. I thought that's what was going to happen. I mean, the whole reason that Romar got booted out of here was because he kept going with the high-level recruits one-and-done at a time, and he couldn't build anything because he wasn't a great developer of talent once they got here. He could recruit the heck out of the area, but once they were here, he couldn't coach him up quickly enough to make it worth it.
And what I worry about is, I don't know if Washington is, it's on the cusp, but it's not one of those programs that can consistently get those guys year in after year out. You can't rely on constantly getting the best recruits that are going to come in, play a year, and leave. You're going to have one guy that comes in, but then who do you have around him?
Right.
Right? That's a problem they have this year.
Yeah, so, look, I don't know if that'll keep on being the case, and I don't think that Mike Hopkins' job is in trouble right this second, but he does need to take a long look at that and say, all right, am I going to develop players over the course of 2-3 years and actually have a nucleus? I know it's hard to do in college basketball, but which kind of program are you going to be? You want to be John Calipari? You want to try and do it that way with a program like Washington? Or do you want to hold on to a couple of players? You want to be maybe more along the lines of a Butler or Dayton or Xavier or something like that. Next.
Number two.
49ers defensive coordinator Robert Saleh asked this week about wearing his Seahawks Super Bowl ring.
It's hiding somewhere in the safe. Not going to tell anyone where, but I don't wear it. It's a Seahawk ring, so I don't get a chance.
If you are Robert Saleh, now with the 49ers, would you wear your Super Bowl ring from the 2013 Seahawks?
Yeah.
You would?
It would be something on, hey, this was one of the best defenses you've ever seen in football. I helped craft this team. And guess what? I can take you there, too.
He was the defensive quality control coach at the time.
You were a part of it?
Yeah, but you're now with the 49ers.
I'd still wear it.
You're gonna strut around that building with a Seahawks ring?
I'd wear, if I had a Super Bowl, if I had Super Bowl rings, I would wear them on every single finger at
okay.
all times.
That was going to be my question, was if you had a Super Bowl ring, how often would you even like break that out of the bank vault?
Every day. I'm washing dishes with it.
Stacey, you get that caught in the disposal, then you're having to like put your hands down there, which
you know
is
what,
really
Kyle?
Nerve-wracking.
Kyle, most guys that I knew, like when I was working at ESPN, if they had one, and you know, many guys did, most of them would wear them to work every day.
Yeah.
Wow.
Think of all the dedication and sacrifice you made to get it. If
it
you're
is.
A player, too. Like, you probably had midseason surgery at some point in your career. You know, woke up at 5 a.m., left the facility at, you know, 10 p.m.
Hey, you work hard
we
to
spend
get
a lot of time at the VMAC, at the Seahawks headquarters, around coaches, players. You don't see a lot of rings, really. Now a lot of the roster is turned over, but coaching staff, office staff, you almost never see one, I feel
The
like.
Only reason I would wear one, a Seahawk ring, in 49er headquarters, for example, is to show the players this is what it's all about, guys.
Exactly.
This is what we're working for. But I wouldn't wear it like...
It's not like a club ring where it was like, ooh, it's the Seahawks club and we all have friendship rings right. that we got each other. It's not like a marriage ring that you have. It's a Super Bowl ring. It's a sign of an accomplishment, the biggest accomplishment you can get.
It does happen to be your rival, though. I mean, if he were with the Broncos or something and they won in 2015? Yeah. That'd be different because the Broncos and the 49ers don't have any beef. We got beef.
Yes.
I mean, beef.
Do you think he goes home
here?
And puts it on, though? Like, he can't, he knows he can't wear it to the facility or anywhere, so he just goes home and he puts it on for like 5 minutes and just like.
He just looks in the mirror, sends his wife like a selfie. Like, just a reminder.
Just a reminder, I got
but would
this.
You would you prance around here in a shirt for another radio station?
No.
No.
Well, what if you got a softball, a rec league softball trophy, and then you went to another office that has a different softball team? You're not going to have that. No, you don't.
Hey, you, and if this is a hypothetical, Stacey, I hope it is. Because if it's not, you better burn that.
If I got an award from the competing station or something, like a plaque, and I brought it here and put it up on the wall, yeah, I mean, come on.
Well, what if it said, like, best radio voice? Ooh, also, no. You happen to be on another station, but it said you're the best radio voice.
And if you did that or somebody did that, I'd take it down. I would. Next.
Number three.
What was the most important thing you two heard yesterday in your time at T-Mobile Park with the Mariners?
One thing that stuck out was that Jared Kelnick could potentially make a second half debut. Obviously, that it wasn't promised. It's something that's just potential, but I think that's earlier than I expected for him.
I think he's probably the most anticipated guy.
Easily. Well, and Julio Rodriguez might be, but he's just
he's younger,
so
at
it's,
this point.
There's not even a chance. Yeah.
You know what? Yesterday, it wasn't even really something that I heard. I guess it was partially something I heard. It was something I saw. Looking at Justin Dunn, like, that guy's just got it. I am so excited to, I mean, to watch him pitch, I guess, yeah. I know he was nervous last year, and he said his heart rate was way too high.
I like that he said that, though. I like that he was like, yeah, I could not stop my nerves at first.
Yeah, we all know that feeling when you're standing there and you're so nervous. Like, you can't, you have to keep, like, grabbing your arm and you're kind of, like, jittery.
Yeah.
Because and you can't even really think straight.
And imagine being opposite, like, Mike Trout.
Yeah, exactly.
And you're thinking, oh, my God.
Yeah, so I can relate to that. But he's a relatable guy.
Yeah.
Again, for the people who have hostility toward the organization, if you are going to bother to watch this year or embrace something, look no further than him.
Look for new favorite
players. He's one of those guys.
Yeah. I really liked our conversation with him. And I also liked when he made fun of himself as a golfer.
Right. Do you think he's going to be a heartthrob around here?
A heartthrob?
A heartthrob. Like a teen heartthrob.
Like we need like a teen
on Tiger Beat magazine.
Tiger Beat.
Yeah. Like, he's a good-looking dude. Don't get me... You know, he is. Ooh.
What are we doing?
We're being stupid. Our playoff coverage, by the way, brought to you by Washington Farm Bureau Healthcare. This is the first weekend in 17, 18, 19, 20... 20 weeks that we don't have a football game that we, you know, really, really want to watch.
I literally cannot wait for the Pro Bowl. I don't know what you guys are talking about. I haven't slept in 48 hours because I'm so excited.
Stacey, give me one reason why I should watch that thing start to finish.
Jake's there and he's put in a lot of work.
Are we going to see him on the sidelines?
I don't know.
Is he going to be holding Russell's clipboard?
Jake just enters the game. Can you guys imagine?
He just walks like, out onto the field.
Yeah,
no
they're like,
notices.
Oh, we need someone. Do we have an extra quarterback anywhere? Does anyone know how to be a quarterback?
Well, looking at the quarterbacks that are playing in this game, Mitchell Trubisky got an invite. Like, that's how far down the list they had to go to find healthy quarterbacks.
Someone that was willing to.
Yeah, so maybe if there's
Jake
a late
the
withdrawal, yeah, Jake's there. He's got NFL experience.
What if he gets Pro Bowl MVP is awarded, like, four or five cars, and then he gives them to us.
I would hope he gives.
I would assume he would. I would assume this would happen.
Yeah.
If it were Jake, yeah, but not Russell Wilson.
Why would Russell Wilson give us cars?
Yeah, it's my question.
Yeah.
That's what I'm wondering.
What?
Isn't that what you meant?
I meant if Jake plays.
Jake's not playing. He's not an NFL football player.
I know. That's what I'm saying. It's all hypothetical. You never know what could happen. I could go out there and play. Maybe I will. Is it too late to enter my name?
You know what? Is there a brand of football that's worse than that? Like, would you rather watch a non-competitive high school football game or the Pro Bowl?
Like, just a game on a random Friday night here in town?
Yeah.
I think I'd rather watch a high school game here in town than the Pro Bowl.
Yeah, but the Pro Bowl, you have the... Here's what happens with the Pro Bowl is there's always the potential that you're going to have a moment where another guy thinks another guy is playing too hard and then gets in a fight with him.
Oh, come on. In the Pro Bowl?
Yeah.
They don't fight each other there.
Yeah, they do.
No, they don't.
Yeah.
No, they don't.
Yes, they do.
No, they don't.
Oh, I'll show you.
You'll show me. Okay, so that's the reason you're giving me. To sit there and watch it start to finish waiting for a fight? That will never happen.
Can you imagine if there was a huge fight at this year's Pro Bowl?
Who was the guy who's
going to start the
used
fight?
Used a helmet. Was it not Pouncey, the other guy? The Steeler player who used his helmet?
Oh, it was Miles Garrett.
Miles Brown.
Mason Rudolph of the
Mason
Steelers.
Mason Rudolph of the Steelers. Yeah.
I don't think that's going to happen.
You don't think that's going to happen?
No.
They're not going to free him just for the Pro Bowl? All right. Mike Salk joins us next. Tom, Jake, and Stacey, 710 ESPN Seattle.
You're listening to Tom, Jake, and Stacey.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Tom Wassel, Jake Heaps, and Stacey Rost.
Mike Salk has just sprinted into the room.
Yo.
Here
Mike,
he is.
I just want to let you know how much I appreciate you doing this every day.
Oh, thank
you. It means the world to me and to Jake, who's in Florida right now, and especially Stacey.
Wow.
Especially
Stacey.
Yeah, for coming in. So
I heard
in our audience as well.
I heard really good things about you guys yesterday.
Yeah,
really?
I heard that you
from
heard
Hoomst?
Good things.
From Hoomst?
Yeah.
From Jerry. I saw Jerry DePoto last night.
And he said we were the best interviewers he'd ever spoken
he
with
couldn't
ever.
Couldn't stop talking about you guys.
Wow.
How great you are.
Which one of us do you think he liked more?
Oh, I know the answer to that, but I won't reveal it
it's
on
Tom.
The grounds that it could incriminate someone.
He was like, where's Jake?
No, I thought you guys had what did you guys think? I thought it was pretty good yesterday.
Yeah, it was great.
Well, we did, but we were discussing last segment.
Yeah.
There is
You've got several years of frustration for Mariners fans. I think
sure.
No matter what, until this team gets to the playoffs, every year you will have people who've said, I've spent a good portion of my life waiting for this.
Yeah,
they're going to be frustrated no matter what. Jerry DePoto could come out and say, "Yeah, we're going for a World Series."
I think Jerry DePoto said and done all the right things. Look, he can't make young players great now,
right.
Overnight, but is there something different that he could tell the public? I mean, what else could he be doing?
I feel like he's been as transparent as he could be. We're not going to try to win for a couple of years. We're going to take a step back to take a step forward. Like, what? Reimagine our roster. We all vote. I mean, he kind of went through it all.
I mean, the players are going to try to win games.
Right.
But
short of saying we're not going to try to win,
right.
Which nobody wants him to say, especially the players, I think he's done everything you could possibly want him to do, and in the meantime, he's revamped their farm system. You saw what was it? Five of the top 100 guys prospects are mm-hmm. in the Mariners system. The MLB Pipeline one will come out. Baseball America came out. Now you'll get MLB Pipeline. They may do even better. I think on the MLB Pipeline one is what I've heard is they believe they'll do a little bit better there than they did on Baseball America. So. Look, the future is what you're looking at for the Mariners, a hard reset, an opportunity to say what we've done for the last 20 years, never rebuilding once, always trying to keep going forward even when it doesn't make sense, trading away good prospects even when it didn't make sense to do so. They're doing it the right way.
Can you remember the last time you felt this way about their farm system?
No, I mean, when they had their big three, there was something to that. When Paxton and Holtzen and Walker were all together, yeah, there was something to that.
And they
I mean,
had
Brandon
a few hitters
Maurer,
too.
The big four?
Yeah.
Come on, show some respect.
I didn't believe it when Brandon Maurer was supposed to be Brandon Maurer. But, yeah, I mean, we've had some moments of excitement before, but it was never done like this. It was those guys are going to come in and they're going to add to what they're doing at the big league level. And this is different. This is a group of kids coming up together. A couple potential superstars. They do still need some more arms, money to spend over the next couple of years. And I think next year at the winter meetings, Jerry is going to be the belle of the ball as he is out there spending money that I think they're going to be willing to spend.
Yeah, I think it would be one thing if you're a Knicks fan and you have an owner who just runs the team into the ground, making terrible deals for the last, you know, 20, 30 years. And there's nothing you can do about that because nobody, he can't hold himself accountable.
Right.
But look, worst case scenario, if you really hate Jerry Dipoto that much, if it doesn't work, his time will come.
Yeah, but I don't think the group that you're talking about, you know, this sort of same old Mariners crowd, I don't think they don't really know Jerry Dipoto is. They don't really know who John Stanton is. They just see that number of, what is it now, 20 years of no playoffs, and they just keep pointing at it.
They know who he is, though.
Yeah, I don't think they really do. I don't think they accept the fact that different human beings occupy spots, including the ownership of the Seattle Mariners. It's just, yeah, I don't care. It's the same old thing.
Well, yeah, but heading into your 19th year, don't you think that some fans, I'm not advocating for this position because I feel like the rebuild is a different direction, but I think of, you know, family members or parents or people that are just, they feel like not being as connected to those conversations as we are in sports media, or even as a lot of our listeners are who listen to us every day, they feel like it sounds the same.
Yeah. Well, I guess what I would say is, sure, that's the easy way. It's easy to say same old Mariners.
Yeah.
Anybody can do it. It's very easy.
You just did.
Same old Mariners. Well. It takes more work to pay attention. It takes more work to listen. It takes more work to see what they're doing. It takes more work to think of John Stanton as being an actual different human being from Howard Lincoln. Like, those things take work. And I would argue that that's most people, the Mariners haven't given them a lot of reason to spend that time doing that work. But if you're willing to take the time and willing to do the work, I think there's a lot of positive that's kind of bubbling under the surface. And we may not see it this year as much, but I think next year we are. And in the middle of the in the meantime, we're going to get a chance to watch Kelnick, I think, at the major league level this year. We're going to get a chance to see Logan Gilbert possibly at the major league level this year and a few other kids that are going to eventually hopefully make a difference for this team.
Have you ever met Justin Dunn?
Yeah.
Do you think he has the potential to be a heartthrob in this city?
A heartthrob. I don't know if that's the word I'd use, but he certainly got the charisma for it.
He definitely has the charisma.
Yeah, he's got a little juice to him.
He's got a good shoe game.
Yeah.
He's got
the hair game, too.
He's got the hair game.
Yeah.
Who do we attribute that hairstyle to, by the way? Is it Beckham or is it Tyrann Mathieu?
Who sort of first did the blonde hair?
A great question. I'm going to say Beckham, even though I think Mathieu came first.
Tyrann Mathieu was first. Isn't that why he got the nickname Honey Badger?
I have no idea.
Okay.
I don't have a clue. I assumed that it came from that viral video, right?
Honey Badger don't care.
Yeah, Honey Badger don't care.
Don't give a crud.
Isn't it about that?
I don't know. I'm not really that interested in that. Do you think that his charisma might be enough to, not just him, but, you know, a handful of guys once they're up here, because they all know each other.
Yeah, like, that's
they're all
the goal,
buddies,
right?
And they do. And I asked Jerry yesterday, how important is personality to you when you're looking at these players and you're trying to assemble something? He said very important.
Yeah.
I mean, when they come up, that's something for the fans to latch onto.
Number one is you got to be good. You got to have good players who do their job and succeed. If you can add some personality to that, that's how you start to capture a town. You surprise people, right? They're not going to do that this year, but if they can start to surprise people in 2021, and some of these guys, I mean, Kelnick's got a lot of personality. Rodriguez has a lot of personality.
But different personalities, too.
Sure, but they've got a lot of it. Yeah. This isn't Kyle Seager flatlining. These are guys who actually have some juice to them. And, yeah, absolutely, throw in a Dunn on that list and, you know, we get to know these guys over the next few years. They surprise you in a couple of years. I think that's how you end up, you know, with one of these beloved teams that you're talking about for years to come. And then we can stop talking about 1995, which will be awesome.
I want to go back to something you said earlier with he came short of saying they were trying to lose. Because
right.
I didn't read it as they're tanking intentionally. I read it as, and tell me if you felt differently, our young players aren't experienced enough to be reliable,
yes,
and we're relying on veterans to fill holes that we aren't going to keep for more than like two seasons.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, I think what you're looking at is saying
we're not trying to lose. We're just
understand that we may not be competing at the highest levels right now. They're not spending the additional money to bring in the free agents that are of great value to fill some of those holes. They're letting the young kids figure it out. I think, as Tom mentioned, you got guys who are friends and you've let them come up together and build a culture. Scott, I think that's why he's here, is that he's a culture builder. He's worked really hard to change what it means to be a Seattle Mariner.
Mm-hmm.
And the last step of that process is winning. That may take another year, but they're building a foundation to be prepared for when those players come of age. And baseball is unlike other sports. It just takes a while. A 20-year-old kid can't just get drafted generally and show up in Major League Baseball and succeed. It's a thinking game. It's a learning game. I mean, it's not easy to just understand the banging of the trash cans out there. That's a code, and it takes a while to really understand.
Give them credit. They really worked at it.
Let me ask you guys a question. Do you think those guys will ever work again in baseball?
You mean will the players become managers?
Well, I mean Hinch and Lunau and
I think after several years pass.
They'll work in baseball again, right?
I think it'll be like the maybe like a Michael Vick thing. Just give it time, and right? People will eventually come around to it. There have been a lot of people who have had a very big fall from grace and just
especially
more scandals happen and people forget. They don't forget about it, but they just care about it less because mm-hmm. worse things will have happened in the meantime.
I totally agree. I think they will work. I don't know if Lunau will ever be a GM again, but you're telling me that there's not a team in baseball that won't hire him as an analyst within a few years?
The guys that don't get hired again are the ones that are connected to some kind of really nasty, dirty
yes.
scandal,
yes.
sexual
yes.
abuse, that domestic violence.
Something where you just can't have it in your building.
Yeah,
like if that gets out, you're in trouble for hiring them.
Yeah, something that yeah. you just don't want to be connected to as an organization.
You say that, and yet Art Briles got hired again. Now, granted, it was in high school. He's the Baylor coach. Mm-hmm. I mean, Art Briles managed to get hired again.
Where?
I think with almost any big
high school in Texas where they claimed they did all of their due diligence.
That's different. They're not on the national stage.
True. But I mean,
that was a national story.
It did because of how, you know, off the beaten path Art Briles had gone. But yeah I think you're right, Tom. I think those are the things that generally will keep people from getting another job. I think all of these guys will work again. Yeah. Maybe not as managers and GMs, but I'll bet you they end up back in a position of advisory roles or whatever because the attraction to winning is so great that somebody's going to say Lunau wins.
That doesn't really bother me that whether they do or don't. I don't care if they suspend him for one day. I just want them to carry around the disgrace,
right? The scarlet letter.
Yeah, I was just going to say
for the rest of their lives, and they can think about what they did or didn't do, and that'll be fine with me.
That happens. I mean, you know, I've always argued that that's the case with Spygate. Like, believe what you want to believe about Spygate or Deflategate or any of these things. Should Belichick have been punished more? This, that. It's in his Wikipedia page. There's a whole section now on Spygate. That is the punishment.
Right, that people believe he did it.
That you cannot, because it's all about reputation at that point. You cannot have a conversation about Bill Belichick's legacy that doesn't include Spygate. And that's the punishment. It's right there on the Wikipedia page. Generations of people will say, oh, yeah, who are the greatest coaches in NFL history? Well, let's see. You know, you start off, obviously, with
Walsh.
Or even Parcells, before that. I mean, go back farther. Mm-hmm. But eventually you're going to talk about Belichick and all the wins. Yeah, but it's also going to say he had these allegations against him. That is the punishment. In and of itself.
Exactly. Thanks for running down here, Mike.
Right,
we appreciate it.
See you. Have a good weekend.
This hour of Tom, Jake, and Stacey is brought to you by Car Toys. Up next, Marco Gonzalez on with Bob, Dave, and Moore yesterday. Very, very candid on this issue. I was proud of him.
Yeah.
Extremely proud. Tom, Jake, and Stacey, we're back in a second. 710 ESPN Seattle.
You're listening to Tom, Jake, and Stacey.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Streaming through the 710 Sports app and on 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Tom Wassel, Jake Heaps, and Stacey Rost.
Stacey, you are one of the funniest people I know.
Really, Tom?
You are really.
Are you saying that facetiously?
No, just watching you is.
Because you know I'll take it seriously.
You are. Like,
Thank you.
Your need to be included in the cool group or whatever.
I am the cool group. I don't need to be included just because they're a group in there and they're all laughing and having fun. And I just said, what are you guys laughing about? And they wouldn't tell me. And I don't need to know.
The cool group hopes to be included by Stacey.
Yeah,
no,
exactly.
You guys
that's
don't.
A chicken
yes,
or the
do.
Egg.
They wish they were my friend.
You know what's really funny?
You guys were friends, right?
We wish.
You know what's really funny is that you consider Howdy, Curtis, and Kyle to be the cool group.
Boy,
no, I don't.
Cool.
I am the cool group.
No, you're obsessed with them.
No, I'm not.
Stacey,
it's really quite sad.
Stacey, listen to me. In the breaks, you sprint into the control room. They don't come in here.
Yeah, because I need to test out my material.
That's not what
yeah,
it is
then
at
she
all.
Goes
I
to
always
use it on the air.
My jokes. Yeah, and then I go say the same thing on the air.
She treats me kind of like a zillion.
She's some super killer material.
She treats me a little bit like a zoo animal, though. Like, she comes to see what I'm going to do. It's going to entertain
her. That's exactly what it is. But you know what it is? It's that we all go in the control room during the break. It's not just me. Jake goes in there so he can geek out with Howdy about their fantasy drafts. They go in every single break, and they're like, okay, I just ran it a 50th time, and this is why I have this time.
All right, get it right.
Yeah, okay, mock drafts. And they geek out about that, and then I walk in, and I maybe have some grapes or an apple or a little snack, and then I talk to Curtis about The Circle, which isn't on anymore. We already watched the finale.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
So good.
No spoilers, but
yeah,
buckle up.
All right, well, next time, next break, I'll have something more interesting
for
you.
Someone texted in from the 360 and said, I'm a hoot.
You are a hoot
and a half.
You're a hootenanny. Yesterday, you know who was a hootenanny? How's that for a transition?
Okay, I like it.
Marco Gonzalez on with Bob, Dave, and Moore. Finally, somebody speaking up about all these shenanigans with the Astros and being pretty candid about it.
I'm mad at the way that they've acted throughout the time and the attitudes that they've had towards the game. Thinking you're above the game and thinking that it's okay that you're taking advantage of other guys, that's not cool. So that's all I'm mad about. I'm also mad for other players who have gone in unprepared, who don't know that this is going on. We've known for a long time that this has been going on in our game. It's a problem. And, so we've tried to prepare ourselves and protect ourselves as best we can, but I'm mad for a lot of other people too.
Wait a minute. Is he violating the gag order by saying that?
Wait, by talking about the Astros?
Yeah.
No. I mean,
the gag order is like Fight Club. You don't talk about the gag order.
Yeah, exactly. What gag order?
You just broke the first rule of the gag order.
I'm trying to be serious here, people.
There have been other players that have, I think, been even more, I don't want to say angry.
Mike Clevenger of the Indians, he was really outspoken about it.
Wasn't that before the gag order?
I think Marco Gonzalez held back a little bit.
Yeah, Chris Archer, he's been another guy for the Pirates that's spoken out about it.
So you thought Marco held back?
A little bit. I think he's probably, I think that most players are more upset than they're letting on, but they're trying to be professional.
Well, yeah, but most players aren't speaking, Stacey. Like, at least he's saying something.
No, he is saying something. Okay. I think there have been other players that have kind of on Twitter been like, yeah, let's talk about this. But Marco at least said, yeah, I'm not happy about it. It took away some of the weapons I had. And he was more upset about the way that they handled it versus just them cheating. It was the way that they handled the fallout of it, which I think most people would say.
Peel the curtain back a little bit on the so-called gag order. When we were down at Safeco or T-Mobile yesterday, talked to a number of Mariners players and staff, we were given no instruction to not bring it up or avoid it.
That's true.
So the gag order we've heard about, but when we were around a major league team, we didn't hear a single word about
it. What do you think Marco wanted to say yesterday if you thought he was holding back?
Maybe not things that were FCC compliant.
Okay. You thought he wanted to get vulgar?
Well, I don't know. Okay. Do you think that there are pitchers that think that those titles should be stripped? Do you think any active player thinks those titles
there
should
be
taken away?
Yes.
Not on the Dodgers.
Someone, yes.
Okay. I don't know that he thinks that. I think that he probably... I actually get where he's coming from about what was frustrating was them not apologizing, not owning up to it, and then acting like they were better than... above the rules.
Yeah.
And that could mean a lot of things. I'm still trying to decipher what he meant by that. That's how I interpreted it.
Do you think that they should strip those titles? No. I actually don't.
I don't either.
I mean, there's evidence. And even if they were to come out and fully confess... Even the players that cheated, I'm not sure that they'd be able to describe the specific ways in which their cheating impacted those
games. That's the thing. It's clear that they cheated. I don't think you can definitively say that the Dodgers would have won without them doing
right,
that.
Right, like X equals, I guess, Y. Like, their cheating equals titles.
Yeah, if you're going to take it away, it would be like no one gets it, which is, I mean... They had the talent to get there. I've said this before. It's what's so frustrating about it.
Yeah, I agree with it, especially with the pitching.
You didn't need to cheat. You just needed to.
Here's a little bit more from Marco.
Truthfully, it hasn't been a secret in the game of that this has been going on for a while. It's just taken some time to come out. The right person speaking up. But yeah, I can remember that day in that game, and obviously the emotions coming back. And like I said earlier, I'm a guy that I rely on. You know, that chess match, that off balance, the making pitches, the off speed pitches, the changing speeds. That's what I got. And that's what I've been working on for however long I've been throwing a ball. And so when I feel that that's taken away from me, because they know what's coming. That's my entire game. I don't have 98. I can't blow it by you if I want. So if you know what's coming, I have nothing to work with. So that's if I had frustration, that's because that I've been working my entire life, and I don't want that to be taken away from me.
That I get. And I also get caring. It's changed your ERA. For guys that were heading into new deals, it potentially altered those.
Yeah. I'm not so sure I'm on board with that comment there. Like, well, this is all I have. Don't cheat because I can't throw 98.
I mean, but for some guys, they're thinking like, you're taking away some of my weapons. You're making it not a fair contest. Me at my best can't beat you. Like, sorry, this is who I am as a pitcher. And if you weren't cheating and I had the ability to use some of my off-speed pitches, maybe I'd have a better chance. He can't change who he is as a player.
I know, but that comment sounded a little whiny. Does anybody back there agree with me on that?
Yeah, I fully understand and appreciate the point you're making, but I do.
I'm not really making a point, though. I'm just saying the tone of that sounded like life's not fair to me because of what these guys did. It's not really about you. It's about everybody.
He's saying I go up there expecting a chess match, and those guys are instead dropping a nuclear missile on me.
Yeah.
Also, I would make it about me. If I'm facing that team, well, okay. If I'm facing that team and I know they're cheating when I'm pitching and I have a bad day, I am directly involved in that. Not making it about me as like this entire thing, this huge scandal comes down to the fact that I was wronged, but he was directly involved with this.
I know.
Say, I've spent 20 years overcoming physical limitations to reach the highest peak and pinnacle that anyone in my sport can possibly achieve. Mm-hmm. I've had to overcome, like I said, a lot of physical limitations to get to that point.
Yeah.
And now they're taking all of that hard work off the table.
Yes.
I need to think about this before I say something I don't mean.
Okay.
Well, just for the sake of saying something, you know?
Are we throwing to a break? Because I do want to just mention
that
we have the text line 710-710. If you walk into a cafeteria, I just want to settle this. Am I the cool kid you're sitting with, or is it Howdy, Curtis, and Kyle? Because if you're honest with yourself, I think you know what they are.
Who are you asking?
I don't know.
She's asking
the listeners?
A group of like 25 to 50-year-old males whether they would like to come sit and hang out with Stacey or hang out with me, Curtis, and Howdy.
Right.
I mean, come
on.
I
think the answer's
unfair. She stuffed the ballot box.
I'll take my odds, by the way.
Okay, Howdy. We'll see.
We're here playing chess,
Howdy,
Stacey,
were you a homecoming queen, Howdy? Were you?
Were you?
That's not the question. That's not what we're debating right now. Go to break, Tom. Throw to break.
No, you know what happened? I want to say this. You'd be sitting alone. The three of them would be, you know, having a good old time at another table. I'd walk in. I'd see you sitting alone, and out of sympathy, I'd sit with you.
No!
Stop! But then the whole time, you would complain to me about how you're not sitting with them.
I would not. I would not be doing
all
that.
All true.
Instead of thanking me for sitting
facts
down.
Only.
That's not true.
She'd be like, oh, Curtis hates me.
Everyone would be sitting with me!
Russell Wilson's next with Jake Heap, 710 ESPN Seattle.